boats built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees, always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. So this is the prototype of the original spiritual life, or simple life, simple living. Living simply is so nice that that's what God likes to do. They just live with the cows there, and they have all these trees. Of course, cows are extraordinary, and the trees are extraordinary. But even if we try to do it a little bit in this world, we have a wonderful experience. In the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta talks about this. By the word Chintamani is meant, who knows what Chintamani means? A touchstone, yeah. Transcendental gem. Just as Maya builds this mundane universe with the five material elements, so the spiritual chit potency has built the spiritual world of transcendental gems. The Chintamani which serves as material in the building of the abode of the Supreme Lord of Goloka is a far rarer and more agreeable entity than the Philosopher's Stone. So the Philosopher's Stone in this world is the whatever you touch, it turns to gold. But according to Bhaktisiddhanta, the Chintamani of the spiritual world is nicer. It's better, far more agreeable. The purpose tree, or the desire tree, yields here in this world, yields only the fruits of piety, wealth, fulfillment of desire, and liberation. But the purpose trees in the abode of Krishna bestow innumerable fruits in the shapes of checkered divine love. So in other words, divine love full of all kinds of varieties. Kamadhenus, cows yielding the fulfillment of desire, give milk when they are milked. But the Kamadhenus of Goloka pour forth oceans of milk in the shape of the fountain of love, showering transcendental bliss that does away with the hunger and thirst of all pure devotees. The words Laksha and Sahasra Shata signify endless numbers. The word Sambrahma or Sadara indicates being saturated with love. Here, Lakshmi denotes Gopi. Adi Purusha means he who is the primeval Lord. So this is the original form of simple living and high thinking in the spiritual world with Krishna. The cows, the Chintamani, the land made of Chintamani, and the cows that they don't just give you milk, but they give you pure love for Krishna. And the land renders all kinds of wonderful food that doesn't pass away. Somehow when you eat in this world, somebody has to die, right? Something or jiva, jiva, shajivanam. I was just reading that. That's what Narada Muni was telling Yudhisthira, because Yudhisthira was lamenting because Dhritarashtra and Gandhari had gone to the forest. And Narada Muni came and said, oh, you're thinking that you're maintaining them, but that's not you're not maintaining anybody. In this world, one living being is food for another. So he says, you shouldn't lament, because that's the law of nature. But in the spiritual world, if the food is living, I don't know how that works, but that's the original spiritual existence. But even in this material world, if we try to live according to this formula that Govinda exemplifies, living on the land with cows, it may not be cows that give pure love of God, but according to Srila Prabhupada, according to the Vedas, if one drinks milk regularly, especially milk that's supplied by cows who are loved and taken care of and who give their milk because of love, just like we have one cow here in the Goshala. She's never had a calf. It's extraordinary, but she just gives milk. And why does she give the milk? Because she's loved. So out of love, she gives milk, even though she doesn't have a calf. So that's already very wonderful. That's a kind of a miracle in itself. So this is simple living here in this world already gives us milk. And who knows what milk is? What does milk do? Who would like to suggest or remember? Or why is milk so great? Yes. Milk is considered liquid religiosity. and especially milk from cows who are loved and taken care of, who actually are Krishna's devotees, it nourishes the brain tissues in such a way that the mind becomes receptive to spiritual knowledge. If a person lives on beef and wine, it's hardly expected that they can be receptive to spiritual knowledge. But the milk of the cow is actually the blood of the cow transformed. So there's no need to kill the cow to get her blood. She's giving it freely. So you see what a demoniac civilization that we're living in. Prabhupada speaks on this in one of the purports to the prayers by Queen Kunti. It is by ignorance that people think that by opening factories they will be happy. Why should they open factories? There is no need. There is so much land, and one can produce one's own food grains and eat sumptuously without any factory. Milk is also available without a factory. The factory cannot produce milk or grains. The present scarcity of food in the world is largely due to such factories. When everyone is working in the city to produce nuts and bolts, not the kind that you can eat either, nuts and bolts means the metal things, who will produce food grains? Simple living and high thinking is the solution to economic problems. Therefore, the Krishna Consciousness Movement is engaging devotees in producing their own food and living self-sufficiently so that rascals may see how one can live very peacefully, eat the food grains one has grown oneself, drink milk, and chant Hare Krishna. Of course, although Prabhupada wanted this very, very much, he wanted the devotees to live simple lives in the country with the land and the cows, and we're doing it to some extent. And here in Radhadesh also, we have something going. But my godbrother Balakrishna, he runs a good section of the farm in Sharanagati in British Columbia. His lamentation is that the younger generation is all going for the techno, all these gadgets. Everybody's fascinated by these gadgets, but these gadgets will come and they will go. Prabhupada predicted that this civilization will not last more than 50 years, and he said that 30, 40 years ago. Hmm. I mean, meantime, we're managing to make use of these technological gadgets to try to promote Krishna consciousness. But we have to admit that they can be very distracting. The original idea that Prabhupada wanted was not that we'd be busy with all of these things, although we may use them. And it is difficult to use them without becoming bewildered by them and becoming dependent on them. Just like I saw an advertisement for on e-books, and so that one boy, he said, "Oh yes, I like to do e-books because I don't have to, then we don't have to pull down the forests." But even the e-books themselves don't really help the forest very much because it's all based on chemicals and plastic, right? And ugra karma. So simple living, as I understand it, Varnashram simple living is based on living the way that Krishna lives. Maybe not with exactly the same results, but it's very conducive to sensing what it's like to be with Krishna, to be in touch with nature, to depend on nature. Actually, one of my very first memories in this life was all of a sudden I became aware of my existence, and in my hand I had beans, little white beans, and I don't even remember who, but someone had told me if I put these beans in the ground, something wonderful will happen. So I was like this little kid in the garden with a shovel. Of course, kid thinks something wonderful is going to happen right away. But I was so excited that when I put the beans in the ground, something was going to happen. I didn't even know what. But the thing is that it is wonderful. We see, when we observe in the garden, the devotees plant the garden, and when we see something coming out of it, it's a miracle, isn't it? When you see food being produced out of the earth, it's like, it's Krishna's miracle. And if we could exploit that more, not exploit it in a negative sense, but take advantage of it as Krishna has offered it to us, then we would be much more aware of the existence of God by seeing His miracle from moment to moment. And And what to speak of the cows. Prabhupada says, perfection of human civilization is made possible by utilizing the gifts of nature in their own way. As we find herewith in the description of its opulence, this is about Dwarka. Dwarka was surrounded by flower gardens and fruit orchards, along with reservoirs of water and growing lotuses. There is no mention of mills and factories supported by slaughterhouses, which are the necessary paraphernalia in the modern metropolis. The propensity to utilize nature's own gifts is still there, even in the heart of modern civilized men. The leaders of modern civilization select their own residential quarters in a place where there are such naturally beautiful gardens and reservoirs of water. But they leave the common man to reside in congested areas without parks and gardens. Herein, of course, we find a different description of the city of Dwarka. It is understood that the whole dhamma, or residential quarter, was surrounded by such gardens and parks with reservoirs of water where lotuses grew. It is understood that all the people depended on nature's gifts of fruits and flowers without industrial enterprises promoting filthy huts and slums for residential quarters. Advancement of civilization is estimated not on the growth of mills and factories to deteriorate the finer instincts of the human being, but on developing the potent spiritual instincts of human beings and giving them a chance to go back to Godhead. Development of factories and mills is called ugra karma, or pungent activities, and such activities deteriorate the finer sentiments of the human being and society to form a dungeon of demons. So how does that apply practically in our life? We, here in Madhadesh, we often feel very fortunate that we can just walk down and see the cows, or we can walk in the forest and feel the kind of peace that only a forest walk can bring us, and eat food grown in the garden. So how does simple living, I'd like to maybe ask the devotees, when you think of simple living and high thinking, what comes to your mind, and what how do you integrate that principle in your life? Yes, ma'am? See some devotees who are in their 50s taking care of cows on the land. Never thought it would happen, but it's happening. Yes. Thank you. loves to have his hands in the earth and make things, plant seeds and see things grow. And he can work in the garden 10, 12 hours a day. Yeah, for mentally disturbed, yeah. 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 The earth is the mother, right? Thank you for reminding us of that. Beautiful. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. With a minimal amount of attention, you get so much benefit. That's Krishna, that's Mother, reciprocating. Beautiful, thank you. And my brother was saying that he when he's working in the garden, he feels close to God and he feels all his anxieties go away. And yes. self-sufficient then. Keeping life simple means always keeping oneself in living one's life in such a way that one can be in contact with the Lord and not cultivating a lot of material desires. Is that what you mean? So simple living doesn't necessarily mean, actually, according to Srila Prabhupada, if we live off the land properly, if we live simply, you'll have more wealth than ever. It's just this artificial standard of living. Prabhupada talks about it. Few people might enjoy something, but that's at the cost of many, many people suffering. Just like when you're in India, sometimes you go, I'm sure in other countries too, you're driving along the highway and you see all these huts along the highway. Exhaust fumes of the vehicles go right into the house. And you think, that's so unfortunate that people in the Holy Land have to live like this because of this so-called modernization. Try to a so-called higher standard of life. And the original standard was quite fine. There was no need to change it. And people had enough. If you have your cow giving milk and you have the land giving grains and you can produce your own cloth, what more do you need? There's something else Prabhupada is saying here. We find herein the mention of pious trees which produce seasonal flowers and fruits. The impious trees are useless jungles only, and they can only be used to supply fuels. In the modern civilization, such impious trees are planted on the sides of roads. Human energy should be properly utilized in developing the finer sense for spiritual understanding, in which lies the solution of life. Fruits, flowers, beautiful gardens, parks and reservoirs of water with ducks and swans, playing in the midst of lotus flowers and cows giving sufficient milk and butter are essential for developing the finer tissues of the human body. As against this, the dungeons of mines, factories and workshops develop demoniac propensities in the working class. The vested interests flourish at the cost of the working class, and consequently there are severe clashes between them in so many ways. The description of Dwargadam is the ideal of human civilization. Prabhupada was actually very outspoken. Very outspoken. He was speaking up against this escalation of industry. Actually, I was in India one time, and maybe I mentioned this in another class, but there was a window to a shop. Jada Gopinath Ki Jai. And it was a shop that was obviously selling goods that were created in factories, and I think you only see this in India. It said on the window, big letters, absolutely nothing natural. And there was like pictures of factories with smoke coming out of them. I don't know if they do that anymore. I think they're beginning to realize that people in the world are starting to realize that they want something natural. But you know, in India, it's wild. So I thought when I saw that, I thought, oh my God. That the basis of simple life actually is understanding that we're not the body and that our life is meant to be lived in such a way that we can realize our spiritual identity. So the devotees who are the most simple and pure are the ones who understand this principle and they live their life in that way. And if that can be combined with living off the land with the cows, then that's the perfection of human life. That's what I understand. I'm not saying that I've mastered that. I fall far short of it. I am spoiled by growing up, living in city life and so many conveniences, etc., etc. But maybe you saw the presentation that, who made this presentation? Was it Samba who came here? And how the Amish, they grow up in quite a self-sufficient way. And then when they're young adults, they're allowed to make a choice about if they want to stay with the Amish or if they want to go out in the world. So to help them make their choice, they're sent to some materialistic families, and they get to see how the people in those families live. And that many of them are just appalled. They go to a discotheque, and they feel like they've entered into hell, which they have. And one girl was saying, you know, back at home, and you know, living among the Amish, she just likes to sew at night by candlelight or by lamplight, and she talks to God. Did I do that a lot? She says. So you can imagine living such a peaceful life that at night you can sit comfortably and open your heart to God and pray to God and talk to God in a very sense that, and know that God is hearing you. A sense of intimacy that develops there. But by so much industrialism, Prabhupada mentions that we develop a false sense of intimacy with the body. False sense of intimacy with our body and with the bodies of others. We're not talking about becoming cold and impersonal here. We're talking about having our intimacy that we have with one another based on our intimacy with God. If one has an intimate connection, we know that if we are around with people who have an close connection with God, we feel very happy, very comfortable in their association. We feel loved. We want to give our love. We want to serve because these people are close to God, and they make you feel close to them. They don't judge you. They don't put you down because they know you're part of God. And you want to, even though you feel friendly and comfortable, you want to be the best that you can be because these people are so nice. You wouldn't want to disappoint them, or you wouldn't want to lower the standard of the exchange because they're so God conscious and they're so happy and they're so loving and it's natural. It's very simple and natural. Nothing unnatural about it. It becomes natural to glorify the Lord. It becomes natural to serve. Natural to do what God wants, because doing what God wants makes you happy. That's really simple living. What does God want? How do I live in a way that God wants? Any more thoughts? Or more? Why is this not open environment? Urban. Oh. bridge the gap, right, rather than try to make the big jump. There's one devotee, his name is Jivatattva. He lives in Spain. And he says the same thing. He said the devotees, they don't necessarily have to make the big jump, because it won't, as who is pointing out Mark, it won't be successful. But if devotees agree, first of all, to try to live closer to each other, grow some of their own food, and meet regularly to discuss these topics, that can be in a seminar or whatever. Like now there's many books out that show you how you can, just if you have a, if you can make a big wooden box, or not even that big, and you put good earth in it, you can grow your food in your backyard or even on your roof. And that way you still get that sense of Krishna's maintained. You want to say something? Yeah. Yes. Right. Yeah. Guidance is very important. Huh? Guidance and our understanding and our vision. Yeah. It's just a false ideal that we're just. This is like a nice step. We have to see how we can discuss them, right? Later on. So many things we can do to, yeah. Yes, Tulsi. Mm-hmm. it's a community project. It isn't something that's, I mean, it will take maybe a few people to initiate it, but they have to get people on board. Yes. Why Sankirtan is together, because in Kali Yuga, the, you know, if you can get along with your neighbors and your family, yeah, that Sangha, yeah, very good, thank you. Chaturani? It's really amazing. That's how Krishna lives in the spiritual world. So he's just, he's saying, you know, just do like I do. It'll be fine. Yeah. Even Dwarka was very close to nature. Even if you have cities, they're very, very, if they're, according to the Vedic standard, Prabhupada said nothing is missing. But they didn't depend on factories yet. They also depended on nature. So that's very interesting. Yes, maybe the last part. Yes. It doesn't look promising. It's quite, but anyway, the point was made that it may come to the point, and it won't be an easy time for anybody, when we have to depend more on the mind. Yes. Yeah. Beautiful, huh? Yes. So it does exist, but it's diminishing very quickly. It's It's interesting also that Prabhupada, he grew up in the city, but he was most happy when he was sitting, you know, on a land. And even, like, Radhanath Maharaj tells a story where he, Prabhupada first came to New Vrindavan, so there's only one toilet on the property, and Radhanath, it didn't work. So Radhanath Maharaj, he was Radhanath Das Brahmacharya. They had to stay up the whole night fixing the toilet. But Prabhupada just didn't even use the toilet. He just went with his lota into the bushes. So it was interesting that, and Prabhupada grew up in Calcutta. So he really preferred to be in the country, living close to the land and the cows. It's quite amazing. I mean, not because he came from the local Vrindavan. Anyway, the class was quite spontaneous, but I can see there's a lot of enthusiasm about the idea of simple living and high thinking, and many practical suggestions which we'll have to churn so that we can try to make it more, less a theory and more a reality. We all have to admit there is nothing better than, how many of you have had a glass of Bhumi's milk? Bhumi's the one that didn't have any, she gives milk. How many of you had a glass of it? It's just pure liquid love. It's so nice, yeah. If you like to have Bhagavati as a close friend, then you should give it to her sometimes. And even if you just ask her for it. We're blessed by one such cow. Last point. Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prabhupada Nuga's Ki Jai.